we have been slugging right through all these alignments, and it's good to say that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, because we are coming to the end of this series of what we've talked about, the typical role-playing alignments. If you've paid attention over the last few episodes, we broke down all of those typical alignments and kind of gave you some examples of characters that you see on TV or characters that you can relate to and how to play these alignments. We've had some really great discussions on how we see these alignments interacting with one another, and we're reaching the end. I guess without any further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Donald, and he's going to start right there, and he's going to introduce everybody. I'll let Donald introduce everybody, and then we're going to let him talk about the last alignment, and then we're going to wrap up this series in a nice little bow and sock it away in history. So, Donald.
All right, starting on my right, ladies first.
Deb is here.
Josh is here.
I'm the host, I'm Mike.
And Anton.
And as you all know, this is Don.
And live via satellite.
Oh. Hey, this is Derek. Easily forgotten one.
I'm just not used to that.
That's right. You have to ingrain that in your
head.
That's
right.
Practice.
Before we get into anything else, really, I think we're going to go ahead and enter into our archives, the final episode of our alignment. As you all know, as our host has graciously put it, we have trucked right along through the other eight, so we only have one left, and it is my pleasure to be able to bring that to light. As I kind of got the chance to actually start this series with Lawful Good, I'm actually going to be finishing it with Lawful Evil. So, without further ado, let me get into it. The Lawful Evil class, this is going to be a little bit more technical than when I did Lawful Good. And so I've been really preparing for it. But the Lawful Evil class is known as the Dominator or the Diabolic class, because typically in role-playing games such as Pathfinder or Dungeons and Dragons, it is used by a lot of devils in order to make deals. They have to stay within their boundaries of their deals, but they can pretty much go with whatever they want. The definitions of lawful evil. A lawful evil character cares about tradition, loyalty, and order, but not about freedom, dignity, or life. He plays by the rules, but without mercy or compassion. He condemns others, not according to actions, but race, religion, homeland, or social rank. A lawful evil character will use force, power, and intimidation to achieve his goal. So that's kind of the definition of what a lawful evil character is going to live by. I was actually able to find a really cool, I guess you would call it commandments or Ten Commandments of Lawful Evil. It's also called the Lawful Evil Code. The first one is, you shall not lie. You shall harm the innocent to advance yourself or promote order. You shall kill to advance yourself or promote order. You shall not aid the weak. You shall honor legitimate authority that promotes you and your comrades. You shall follow the law. You shall not betray others. You shall not aid criminals or those who protect the weak. You shall use the law to advance yourself and your comrades. And you shall seek unlimited power over others and unlimited order in society. So, given the code and given the definition, I would like to kind of open the floor a little bit to the rest of the group for discussion on characters you've seen using these kind of rules or fall into this kind of a definition, or what you guys think about the lawful evil alignment in general. So,
well, I'll go first. There's a television series that we have all kind of started watching, as of late. It's called Once Upon a Time, and I believe that Rumpelstiltskin,
yes,
in the series, is lawful evil.
Love him.
His big thing is he wants you to owe him a favor. So he's going to do things and have you enter into either a verbal contract or a written contract, depending on the time that the show is taking place. But he wants you to owe him a favor so he can call it in when he needs it. So I think he very nicely fits into that Ten Commandments of the lawful evil guy.
It's kind of hard for me to look at lawful evil. There is one side of me that lawful evil tends to be that I think when we were discussing it, you said something like a mob boss type. Actually, now that I just started rambling a little bit, it did hit me an idea that I had. Two-Face from the Batman series is probably one of the best elements I've seen of it, because everything has to be done off the flip of a coin. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Now, granted, he's very chaotic in the stuff he does, but he is locked in his order of it's got to be done based off the flip of the coin. That's just his psychosis, I guess it may be. But that's part of that order that comes into play with a lawful character.
What about in the Transformers 3 movie, the character that Leonard Nimoy plays? Initially, we think he's good, and then he switches, and he turns evil. But it's within a code, and when help me out here, my brain is not working. When the main bad guy,
Megatron.
Thank you. How did I forget that? Sorry, you can smack me later. When Megatron starts to veer away from this code, this reason that he is going along with Megatron, and this is the reason why we're doing this, and Megatron starts going off and doing his kind of chaotic evil thing, he starts to get really upset. You know, we're doing evil, but we're doing it within a certain code. We're doing it for reasons. This is the reason. This is the path. This is not right. You should not be going off this way. I almost think of him as a lawful evil character.
Just seems to me that when you look at the bracket of evil characters, I guess if I was going to a party with all evil characters, I guess the lawful evil guys would be seen as kind of like the sticks in the mud. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, it has to be this way, it's got to go this way, it's got to be on this path, and you have to do it this way. And if you don't, then I'm not going to help you because you're breaking something that I believe in. Where the alternative is, you know, you have the chaotic guys who are just like, hey, man, whatever it takes to get it done. And you have the neutral guys who are kind of like, you know, I can follow the law if it helps me, or I can blow stuff up if it helps me. I just think that when you're looking at them, like, you know, just listening to Deb, you know, you watch those movies and Megatron's like, let's just smash everybody, you know. And the other guy, I don't know why I can't remember his name.
Sentinel Prime.
There you go, Sentinel Prime.
I finally got it.
He's like, you know, you're veering from the path. We're just trying to protect our world and this, that, and the other, and you're trying to kick in to do all this bad stuff. So he just kind of tries to reel them back in and keep them in this nice little bubble. So, you know, I guess they get seen as kind of like the sticks in the mud. Derek, what you got?
I'm trying to... through the discussions, I'm trying to understand the difference between lawful good and lawful evil, because it seems like there's very little distinction between the two.
It looks to me, just by what we've discussed, and Don, you can feel free to chime in on, because you're the you're the resident expert on both, so no pressure. But
yeah, seriously.
Hope you did your homework,
right? So it looks to me that, you know, you have lawful good, and you have lawful evil. They both have a code, or some sort of, and I'm putting it in quotations here, some sort of laws. And we kind of just jump to this realization that, oh, you're playing a lawful good character, you have to be following all of the laws of the land, and that's not true. A lawful good or a lawful evil character could very easily ignore every law of the land but have a code for themselves that they follow. and that still makes them a lawful character. Now, the difference between, I think, a lawful good and a lawful evil character is if you look at his little code of being an evil, a lawful evil code, or whatever that is, he says, you know, like, you will not help the weak. Well, a lawful evil character, obviously, it's the strong will survive. If you can't protect yourself, it is not my job to protect you. A lawful good character will say, I will help the weak because they can't protect themselves. Now, I guess if they have some kind of code that they're following and they live in a world, if they live in an environment where they don't protect the weak at all, then I guess they wouldn't. It's just, it's all relative to what kind of code they follow. Derek?
So would that mean that a lawful evil character would be basically be out for themselves, whereas a lawful good character would be out for the greater populace?
I think it depends. Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, that's how I've always seen it, but explain it to me better, Don, since
you're
an expert.
I think that both can legitimately be part of a group. Most of the time, it seems to be they want to be in the leadership role. If you think about lawful evil characters like Magneto, or maybe even like Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter series, both of them were leaders of their own organization, but they were not afraid to push someone aside so that they could promote themselves and then what they were doing or who they were representing. I agree that like a lawful good character is probably a lot easier to use in an organized group or an organized fashion, because obviously they are going to have the mindset of the greater good, whereas a lawful evil character is going to have the mindset of the cause or the goal in mind. You know, if your character is seeking authority in a kingdom, they're gonna constantly be thinking about what is the highest position that I can get into to where my authority is, you know, the highest authority of the land. So normally a king or something like that, and they're gonna do everything they can to promote themselves and their own organization to fit themselves in that seat.
You haven't played in many parties with paladins, have you?
That's fun, to play in a party with a lawful, good paladin.
It also depends on the paladin and the church or whatever that the paladin is associated with. If that church is a church of known power who's just all about destroying and vanquishing all evil, it can come back as cocky. I know exactly what you're saying. So maybe that is the thing we're learning about lawful in this, is that it's almost like you're making a decision on what is good and what is evil based on the populace versus yourself. So I can see the confusion, because that could be the case with a paladin.
Well, mm-hmm. The neat thing about the lawful classes that I've discovered since we've gone through this is, you know, I've played a couple of paladins, and you always see the paladin as the guy who keeps the rogue from looting the body, and he's always he's always seen as the stick in the mud to the party, and you know you kind of are that way, but you have to remember that not every organization or not every church or not every anything that these characters would work for are going to be all about preserving the dead. Not all of them are like that. I mean, you have it's not always just the black and white of good versus evil. Because if you have your own code that you follow, you can still be lawful and you could still break the law.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's very easily you could have a script of things that you follow folded up in your pocket, and as long as you're following those things, you can still to yourself, you can still say that you're lawful, and you will fall under that. Under that blanket. So, I mean, you could be, a pillaging paladin or whatever, and you know, your code is that, you know, the strong will survive, and it's your, you know, that's what you follow. And now, does that make you good? Does that make you evil? I, you know, that's not for, you as an individual character to judge. That's how the world sees you. Are you good or are you evil? So, you know.
It seems like it's a very slippery slope from Paladin or
I could
good,
imagine,
lawful good to lawful evil.
I think if you look in the Pathfinder, you look in D&D series, all of the ones that require you to be lawful have the anti-whatever abilities. The anti-Paladin or the anti, you know what I'm saying? I think that's there for a reason, because if you adhere yourself to a code of such strict nature that you start violating this code, all of a sudden you're an anti-paladin or an ex-paladin or whatever. And I think you're absolutely right, Derek. I think there's a slope that is very slippery and it heads from one to the other. Tony?
From what I was just seeing, like, if you look at things, a lawful good character will be required to follow the law of the land and the law of the people.
Well,
where a lawful evil character necessarily is their own laws. Now, they may follow some of the laws of the people, but they may choose not to follow some. And they can write their own laws, where a lawful good character not necessarily is going to write his own laws.
Debbie, did you have a comment? Or?
Yeah, I was just going to springboard off what Mike said, which was, it sounds like he was saying if you want to play a good lawful character, whether good or evil or even neutral, you should probably have a good idea of what that character's law is at the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise you're going to be forced to follow the law of the land kind of either way. Because if you don't know if you're lawful evil and you don't have a set law, plan, rules in your own head, you're going to be following the law of the land. And that could be very hard to be a lawful evil character if you're following that. Same way with lawful good. I can see some really creative ideas now that we're talking about it, of a lawful good character could have this law in his head and maybe make it a really good law. Like, I'm not thinking about brilliant ideas right now, but a law that goes against what the law of the land is, but it's good. It's for the greater good. And he's stuck. And this is what I'm always going to do. And he's breaking the law of the land, but he's keeping his own good law and being lawful good. So it could be a really entertaining time, especially if you'd have a lawful good and a lawful evil character in the same party, both some of them following the laws of the land and then following their own laws. This could be an amazing kind of back and forth, my law, your law. I think that'd be really fun to play, actually.
I think a really good example there is if you, if you're trying to play a lawful, good, neutral-esque character, even evil, if you live in a land that is predominantly driven by slave labor, and you don't believe in the right of oppressing the slaves into slave labor.
Good
now
example.
You could be evil. You could be evil and don't believe in slavery. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can be that and be going against the law of the land. To the slaves, you'll look like a hero because you're trying to free them so that way, you know, they're not being oppressed. But that's exactly how Magneto has looked from the X-Men.
Yes.
You know, he's trying to free the mutants from the oppression that are put on by the mutant organization or the mutant registration. But on the same aspect, from the Charles Xavier look, he's all about, you know, it's you're a mutant, you're higher than them, you're better than them. So he wants to do this like reverse oppression kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But from the mutant standpoint, or from the slave standpoint, or from the general populace standpoint, Magneto looks like a hero. Because he's that charismatic guy that will stand up to the face of the people and say, look, we're different. We know we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't lock us in a box. So you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's all on the – if you have a really good game master, it's all about the perception of the people that you're working for. So if you're working for the king and the king is tasked you to do something, and if this king likes his slavery option – he could be a really great guy, but if you're anti his workforce, he's not going to like you, whether you're lawful good, lawful evil, whatever. See what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily in a box what your alignment is, whether people like you or dislike you. It's how you act for who you're working for. Donald, I saw you had your hand up, and Tony, I saw you had your hand up. I think we'll go over to Tony, and then we'll go to you, Don.
One character I've been thinking about is Davy Jones. I would see him as a lawful evil character.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Because he follows a strict set of laws for his ship and what he has to do, but he is not above turning on somebody.
Right.
So.
The Dutchman must always have a captain. I mean, that's a law, and that is non-negotiable.
And like the laws of the dice and the right. other stuff on the ship.
Even he obeyed those. Even when he lost, he still obeyed them. That's a great point.
But he would lie.
He would lie.
Yeah, but just because that's the code doesn't mean that that's the code for all of them. They can't, I mean, they can't lie. A lawful good character can lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's what's...
That goes with a code.
You know, that goes with their code. Donald, why don't you wrap up Lawful Evil here?
Yeah, no problem. I think in general, as a whole, we've hit a lot of really good points. Named a lot of really fun characters. Davy Jones, I wasn't even thinking of that, but I feel like that's a very good interpretation of Lawful Evil. I myself, I sat down when I knew I was going to be doing Lawful Evil. I sat down and tried to come up with just some characters or some people in history that would fall into the bracket of Lawful Evil. I'm going to go around just briefly, and I want to see if somebody can give me just one example that they can think of that they haven't already named of a Lawful Evil character, starting with Deb.
It's like Family Feud.
Right?
Okay, all right, Deb, I'm going to really throw one out here. And I'm going to say Adolf Hitler.
Joshy?
Man, I was really, really happy with the Two-Face thing.
Boy, he done sucked you into that one,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, I know, right? I was proud of that one. It was good. A tough one to come up with. Let's see if we did that in Batman. I got to be honest, you're going to have to come back.
That's fine. That's fine. Mike?
I'm going to have to say, and this is my new obsession coming out. I'm going to have to say Emperor Palpatine is a lawful evil character. Mm-hmm. He has the code of the Senate that he tries to follow, in much like Two-Face, he tries to follow the code of the Senate when he's not all, the Emperor. And then he has the code of the Empire that he follows when he's the Dark Lord. So I think that's my example.
Only it took me almost the whole episode to come up with Davy Jones.
if you guys can't think of one, that's fine. It's
the one that trips my mind is Dr. Octopus.
Huh.
Okay, Derek.
Jeez.
No put pressure. Us on the spot.
Seriously, I'm actually going to throw one out there. From a series that I'm re-watching right now, which is Spartacus, Blood and Sand. And that's Asher, the little weasel.
I'm still not convinced he'd be lawful, but okay.
He follows his own path, his own laws, I believe. He enters into contracts with people. He's always wheeling and dealing. It may be going out on a little bit of a limb, but he's like the quintessential contract man. You give me this, I'll give you that. And if you get in my way, then, well, maybe we'll have to just make you disappear.
Josh, see a light bulb?
Yeah.
I think a light bulb finally come up, and it was based off a conversation Don and I had prior to this podcast. Because he's going to mention Lex Luthor, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm against it. But I, having been recently, I've been trying to watch the series Smallville, which I know is a little bit far-fetched version of the Superman story, but looking at the background going on there, I will agree with the Luthor family, Lionel and all of them up to a point were lawful evil. However, Lex's obsession with the whole kryptonite meteor thing with Clark and the Superman thing or whatever, I think kind of threw him off the edge and threw him spiraling into neutral or chaotic evil. Granted, he was still obsessed, but he would do anything. There was no limit to what he would do. But his father, on the other hand, a little bit different. I'd call him more lawful evil because he had a way of getting things done, making deals, mob boss mentality as it may be.
Okay.
Yes, yes, Deborah?
I got a second one. Can I say it?
Sure.
Okay. Because I actually love, speaking of going over movies you love, I love the movie Gladiator, and the young emperor, the character Joaquin Phoenix plays, I think is actually a really cool lawful evil character, because he's forced into these laws, but he's always getting around them. He's murdering, he's lying, and yet he's always within this role of the emperor, you know, the thumb up, the thumb down, forcing them to go in, you know, the gladiators to go in and fight, which is according to the law, but the whole time he's trying to push himself forward and trying to kill Maximus and things. I think he's a lawful evil character.
What about the guy that washes hands at the after sentencing Jesus? Forgot his name.
Yeah.
Pontius Pilate.
Ooh, yeah. That's a really way... Ooh.
I would have to say Pontius Pilate would be more, at least in that role, would be more of a lawful neutral character, only because in the actual Bible story, he does not sentence Jesus. It is
the crowd,
the Israelite council and the crowd that force him into a position. And he actually, the reason he washes his hands is because he passes the authority down to, I believe, one of his generals. Mike?
But you have to remember, and also in that story, he's following the tradition, and which is one of your staples of being lawful, mm-hmm. of setting one free.
Mm-hmm.
So he's merely just bargaining to try and get the crowd to set Jesus free, but instead he sets Barabbas free.
Yeah, that's Barnabas. That's true.
It's Barabbas. But he's stuck in this tradition of, you know, it's either this or it's either that, and when the crowd is obviously against it, he's still holding up his end of the deal.
Right, I agree.
So and the,
which
he's lawful.
Which is why I would give him lawful, but because he doesn't actually himself allow the act to go through under his name, I think that's what really separates him from being evil. Now, he could have been a lawful evil guy. But in that particular character concept, I would have to say he's probably a lot more lawful neutral than he is lawful evil. So I'm going to move on to the
I guess
to my last
I guess
bit
it's
of
it's all in the eye of the beholder.
I guess, yeah, it, yeah I it,
say,
and that's
I've
really
heard
what it comes down to.
In church, of going back and forth of what Pilate really was.
Yeah.
Was he evil or was he not quite sure and was he neutral? So
well,
and
I think
really
Mike
cool.
made a very good point earlier about, you know, it's not necessarily. Most of the time, the definition of whether you are lawful good, lawful evil, or lawful neutral, or regardless whether you're lawful, just your good versus evil, a lot of times is going to be defined by the people around you, not necessarily you specifically. Yeah. Your acts are definitely going to contribute to that, but I think in general, one thing that we are probably going to discuss here soon anyway, but one thing in general that we've kind of all hit on is just the fact that whether you're good or whether you're evil, it's really interpreted by the eye of the beholder. So I was inspired by Bill, Wild Bill, when he was here doing his episodes, and so I myself made a top 6 list of lawful evil. I had to hone it down because I had a top 10, but I just could not. I was wrestling too hard with the amount of people because I have a list of like 20 or 30 people that are all lawful evil on here, and so. I can give you guys some examples later on of some of the fun stuff I thought of. But my top 6, starting at number 6 and moving up to number 1, we talked about him a few weeks ago, Count Strahd.
That was our
Von Zarovich.
Week drum roll for you.
Oh, that was good, though. That was good. Count Strahd, if you...
Because it's Count Strahd. He's worthy of a boo.
Yeah. Count Strahd, if you know anything about Count Strahd, he is one of the Duchy Lords in Ravenloft.
Not allowed to say that name.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, right.
The name that shall not be spoken or whatever.
Yeah, I'll say Voldemort over and over again, but I won't say that.
Right, right.
Because all good games end in Ravenloft.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man. My number 5 is actually a real-life guy, Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
An awful evil character.
Oh, wait, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yay.
Going back to something Debbie brought up, number four, Megatron. Mm-hmm. Megatron, especially in the Transformer cartoon series.
Okay, I was going to say, which Megatron?
He is definitely a lawful evil,
lawful evil
character in the cartoon. He is in the first two movies. I would say in the third movie, he has been kind of dislocated from his group of Decepticons. And his arm, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway.
What a jerk.
Number three, Michael brought up Magneto, mm-hmm. one of my favorites. Mm. Number two, which nobody brought up, which I'm surprised, Darth Vader.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Or the Sith.
He brought up Palpatine.
Yeah, but that's not Darth Vader. Darth Vader is so much cooler than Palpatine.
True.
And I'm even watching the Star Wars
And I would say, in general, the Sith as a whole. So, yes.
Ultimate power.
That's right. Ultimate power. And then number one, going back to Deb, Adolf Hitler was my number one pick for lawful evil, because even though he didn't necessarily push any buttons or pull any triggers, the direction that he took Nazi Germany was definitely probably one of the most infamous lawful evil campaigns that I can think of. So that would be my top six.
So hold on a sec. Josh mentioned, he said, itty-bitty living space when I was talking about Emperor Palpatine. Interesting fact. So, in Aladdin, Jafar wants to be the sorcerer, the most powerful sorcerer in the world. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Completely selfless act. Do you think Jafar is lawful evil? Because I think when he's the sorcerer, he's not. I think when he becomes the genie, he's forced to be. Because he has to follow the rules of being a genie, the laws of being a genie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but when you watch Return of Jafar, he's forced into it, but he is the number one schemer in getting around that I've ever seen.
But still, you can be a schemer, much like Derek was saying, the guy from
Asher,
which is funny. Anyway,
yes,
your dog.
You can be a schemer and still hold in your rules, obviously, because. So that brings up an interesting point. Can you force someone? Well, obviously it's a little different in a Disney movie, you know, becoming a genie. But can you force a character to shift alignments into becoming lawful? I guess if you were put in a position where you had to follow the rules, you had to follow the. I mean, I don't know if that would truly shift your alignment, or would you just be?
I would say. It would depend on the length of time,
and I guess
if you're a neutral character and you get into a situation where you have to follow these specific protocols in the eyes of this authority figure, the whole time you're in the presence of that authority figure, yeah, sure, you're going to be doing exactly what they want you to do. But you know, if you're chaotic or if you're neutral and outside of their presence, you could probably pretty much do whatever you want. However, if there is a really strict, you know, if you're
like the Flying Dutchman,
exactly. If there is some sort of like outside, I would say some sort of like outside influence besides just that specific authority figure, then eventually, yeah, it would definitely throw you into that lawful bracket, because you eventually will get so used to that lifestyle that it will just become second nature.
You don't think so, Derek?
No, I really don't.
You don't think that? This is a horrible example, but you don't think being conscripted by the Flying Dutchman would force you into becoming lawful?
Not necessarily. Let me give you a different example. Again, this goes back to Spartacus. Spartacus was a warrior from Thrace. And he was, with his own set of laws, he was forced to become a slave and fight in an arena which he didn't believe in. But throughout the entire series, even though it appeared for a good amount of time that his views and his values have changed, in the end, he rebels against it. So... going with Jafar and the genie, I mean, your intrinsic value system can be forced to to follow a certain path, but at the first chance, you're going to follow your own value system. So I don't think, I'd almost say that your alignment is based on your own internal view, not what other people are forcing you to do.
Deborah?
So in the end, you will be who you are in an alignment.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it.
All right. Well, this is a nice little segue into our discussion topic here. We opened the series with a very general good versus evil topic, and then we discussed all 9 alignments. So it would only be fitting to come back and revisit now that we've all been educated.
Corrupted.
That too.
Subjugated.
Yeah. Now that we've all been educated on the topics. So we're just going to talk about good versus evil again. Our normal format is to run around the room and let everyone tell kind of what they feel. So we're going to jump right on that. We're going to start over here to my right with Tony and just kind of shoot around the room.
For me, it's just like I got a lot more in depth of different alignments, like different ways of playing chaotic evil or chaotic good, because like that's the generic alignment and how it was explained that most people aren't playing it right. So it's been a very awakening experience for me. So
would you say good or evil?
I would definitely say evil.
Derek?
I think in many respects, things have become more murkier for me.
Good. That's you're more confused.
Difficult. That's very, very difficult.
Yes. I see that the lines between good and evil and lawful and neutral are very, very thin. And I think that I think it's a very malleable thing that you can go and in one situation be a good person, considered a good person, and in another be considered a bad person. And it's almost like you have to rely whether you're good or evil based upon on the reaction of the people around you. It's the old thing of one person's tyrant is another person's savior. While it's been very illuminating, I'd have to say that there are many interesting facets that have yet to be explored.
So are you leaning more neutral right now?
I'm very neutral right now.
Fence sitter.
On the fence.
Yeah, I am a fence sitter right now.
I believe we smite those. Wait,
I think so.
Smell a fence sitter.
I think we do need to maybe make this good versus evil versus neutrality.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm.
But if I have choice, if I had to choose between good or evil, I would actually say good.
All right. Donald?
One and one. I would have to say, in light of all of the evidence that we have discussed over the last 9 episodes of Alignment, though I don't necessarily agree with there being a thin line between good and evil, lawful and chaos, yeah, I could see, depending on where you are in the situation at hand. Though I really love playing an evil character and being able to just kind of go blow stuff up for fun, I think that in the end, it is more rewarding for me to say good and run with a good character than it is an evil. So I'm actually changing my viewpoint from the first good versus evil in the second one.
Deborah?
Well, this has been really great for me because up to this point, I have nearly always picked neutral good as my character. And because I pick wanting to play a character who is for the greater good, whether by law or chaos, they seek that, and that's what I usually pick. But we've had some really good discussions. Well, chaotic neutral wasn't really a discussion. It was more like a, I don't even know what that was, an adventure.
Yes.
I think I'm going to broaden my horizons in the future and play greater variety. I think I'm going to pick up a chaotic neutral character. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I want to play a lawful evil character.
Yeah.
Some of my reasoning is because I adore the character of Rumpelstiltskin in Once Upon a Time. I think he'd do a really good job with him. Because even though you think he's lawful evil, there's a few times when you're trying to figure out what law is he following. Because you're like, well, he's helping. No, he's not helping. What is he doing? And I love that tilting. You're not sure what's going on. So to be a lawful evil character, but what law am I following? Nobody really knows. That is a very cool concept. But I am going to say that overall, what I would seek in my game playing is good. I'm going to stick to my first pick. So, but I'm going to expand some of my character choices after this.
We will corrupt you soon, Deb.
It has already started, apparently.
Almost chaotic in the laws.
Joshy?
I really have no idea what you meant by that, Tony.
Rumpelstiltskin, he's almost chaotic in his laws.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I'm glad to see that everyone is coming back to the light, as I have stood by since the beginning.
Can I change my vote now?
Come to the dark side. You are not allowed to be blinded. Welcome back to the light. I'm going to stick by good. I love saving the day. I don't know what it, because I am a fat guy who does not save the day on a normal basis. So role playing, playing these characters,
on a regular basis,
I save the day and enjoy it.
That's awesome.
I still didn't pick good or evil.
Yes, I did.
He's staying with good.
He's staying with good.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, I have to be the conduit of evil here.
Yeah, yeah.
I love playing the good. Right? I love playing the good guys. I love winning at the end of the day. But there is, in my mind, there is no rules. There are no laws. There are no, there's no things that saying that as a bad guy you can't win. And like I made very clear earlier in the podcast here. That your good, neutral, or evil descriptor in your alignment is not chosen by you. I think those things are chosen by the people that you're surrounded by. So I think if you are obviously a paladin in a kingdom that you don't agree with what's going on, you're going to be seen as a bad guy, whether you are trying to play a good guy or not. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you are directly opposed to what's going on, you're going to be seen as a bad guy. And I think that when I, much like Deb, I try to veer away from my evil nature when I play characters, because I tend to find myself, if I play an evil character, I'm playing lawful evil. That's what I play.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel the temptation, Mike.
It's there for sure.
Yes. Yeah,
and my issue is when I play lawful evil. Now it's now not only my job to follow the law, my law, it's now my job to make sure that all of you follow my law.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes very destructive for a party organization because I tend to get cocky and I tend to get arrogant when I play evil and lawful of that nature. And then it becomes, I don't do that, so you won't either. And I don't do that, so you won't either.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of runs that way. And I think that in itself is what makes me evil when I play that way, because my party starts seeing me as, you're a tyrant, you're a dictator, you're telling me what I need to do. So overall, I enjoy good. I love the warm, fuzzy feeling, saving the damsel in distress and all that.
Especially the hot ones.
All that, well, whatever. all that fluffiness that, you get. However, I do like the dynamic of playing an evil character, of being able to be good in one place, evil in another, and just evil when I want.
Yeah.
So
looks like we're outnumbered, Mikey.
It's okay. evil is always outnumbered.
Oh. No.
However,
good is always outnumbered.
No, no. However, not very often do you see in history iconic, huge, iconic good guys. I can tell you some huge iconic bad guys when you play role playing games. You generally have a huge iconic bad guy, and all. That was weird.
Apparently, someone else just jumped on Skype. Anyway,
awesome.
I just find that your good guys are glossed over, which is like they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be, you know, greedy, power hungry. Look at me. But I adore that. So it's whatever.
Every other good guy I play is like that, though. That's my problem.
You're cocky.
It's because you play a closet bad guy.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I think just to disagree a little bit with you, I mean, I heard a guy named
sure you want to do
Jesus
that?
Is a pretty iconic good guy. I mean, am I wrong on that one?
That's why I went and said when you're playing role-playing games.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I was like, in real history, he's done pretty well for himself. So.
Yeah, but the typical like hero story is Samson and Goliath. Yeah. Of the little guy triumphing over the big guy. I mean, it's
that's David.
Whatever. I get my religious history out of like musicals like Jesus Christ Superstar. So just bear with me.
He read that one out of the funnies.
He just did.
So
anyway,
going back to my original point. You don't. If you're trying to tell a story of a hero, of a good guy, a hero, it's going to be a pretty boring story if it's this massive, shiny, bright, powerful being going up against, you know, some dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you want the small guy to win against the big guy, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they always do, Mike. So.
They do not. Good does not always win. It's just you suckers that have been forced to believe that.
Oh my.
All I gotta say, Star Wars Episode 1-3 was in the Sith's favor. It was 4-6 that the Jedi came back. So yes,
right.
The bad guys do win.
Not ultimately.
But they did manage to completely blow up the planet.
Well, yeah, but in the end, the prophecy of the ones that would restore balance to the Force, that was what 1 and 3 kept looking toward, right? It was that prophecy, which...
There's a difference between 4, 5, and... There's a reason why 4, 5, and 6 are after 1, 2, and 3 in numeric order.
Mm-hmm.
It's because ultimately, in 6, they win.
They win.
But really, the fact of the matter is, what it comes down to is whether... Good guys or bad guys always win. You have to have one to have the other.
Yep.
Yes.
True.
Yeah.
A balance.
Right. So, in last episode, I gave you a combo fact. And our combo fact was, of course, if you're ever going to attend Gen Con, then you never, ever, ever.
Ever, never, never.
Never.
Ever.
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 Never. Never.
Well, that just steals my thunder, doesn't it? Never get pregnant in December or November. It's just not allowed.
That's right.
And from our holiday episode, it was the New Year episode. It was I wish I may, I wish I might have this resolution that we make tonight. And I have to say that I know we talked about those, and I don't know if any of these guys remember theirs, but mine's still alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring out how to make mine happen.
So, what I want to establish today from our episode, wrapping up the alignments, and it was very fitting that it came out of Donald's mouth, that in the eye of the beholder, you are good, you are evil. But remember, the beholder has many eyes.
Oh.